Let's all stand together for the reading of God's holy word and turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. All right, look there at verse 13. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
Thank you, Brother Chandler. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And so we know that John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. And we think of John the Baptist as a great preacher, but he must have also been a great prayer. Perhaps that's why he was a great preacher. And the Lord's disciples watched Jesus' prayer life and they asked him to teach them to pray. I wonder, you know, as they spent so much time together, I wonder what it would have been like to have heard Jesus praying. I wonder if sometimes, maybe around a campfire, maybe Jesus walked a little bit away from the campfire as they traveled, maybe he's kneeling in the dark, and maybe they could hear him pray, Father, bless Peter today. Help him. Or, Lord, help Andrew. He's so shy, but I really believe you can use him. Please bless Andrew tonight. Lord, Father, have mercy on Thomas. I know he tries hard. He just struggles sometimes. Can you picture in your mind being one of the 12 and hearing Jesus pray? Do you think Jesus just said, Lord, bless those guys, amen? Or do you think Jesus carried each of them personally in prayer to the Father? And I wonder what it would have been like to have listened to Jesus pray and perhaps to have heard my name. I want you to know tonight that Jesus prays for us now and calls us by name. He's our great advocate and intercessor. And I read those passages in our passage this evening. And I wonder, as I consider John the Baptist and his habit of teaching his disciples to pray, and Jesus, of course, taught his disciples to pray, and I wonder if, as a pastor, if I've done a good enough job teaching my church not just to pray, but how to pray. And part of the problem is that there's a definite lack of interest in prayer today. And no public speaker likes to speak about things that people are bored with. The fact is, a lot of Christians are not interested in prayer. We know a lot about it, but we do very little of it. But I also think that many Christians do sincerely want to pray. They want to know how to pray, and they want to be effective in their prayers. They want to see God work through their prayer life. Who would not want to see God work personally on their behalf in answer to their prayers? Who doesn't want to see God answer a prayer? Who doesn't want to see God actually respond to their requests? So often I think our children grow up and their faith in God is not as strong as it could be, because they've never actually seen God do anything on their behalf. They've not prayed. They've not seen their parents pray. They've not really seen answers to their prayers. You know, prayer, the answers to prayer is when an invisible God becomes visible to us. And we see Him and we see Him get involved. Not just answering Moses' prayer, not just answering Paul's prayer, but answering my prayers and on my behalf. So I believe that many want to pray, and they want to see God answer their prayers, but perhaps they don't know how to pray more effectively, or perhaps they're hampered or hindered by wrong ideas about prayer. In our text, we learn some facts about prayer. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, if you don't even know you're saved, you're not going to have much confidence when you go to pray. And only a saved person has real authority in their prayers. Now, I believe that God does hear the prayers of unsaved, although I've heard all my Christian life that He doesn't, based on the fact that God told Cornelius, your prayers have come up before God, and Cornelius wasn't saved. But God knew that he was praying. But I believe that God wasn't going to answer his prayers until he prayed and called upon Christ to save him. But he knew that he was praying. And you're going to have a hard time praying with confidence until you know that you're a child of God. And then when you know that you're a child of God, you have great confidence to come boldly before his throne with your petition. It says in verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, the only limit, or let me stop and say, first, we have confidence that we're God's children because we believed upon Christ. Secondly, we have confidence that when we pray, he hears our prayers. Amen? That he's not ignoring our prayers, that he hears our prayers. And then we have the confidence that he is interested in our request. He hears, he gives us an audience with the intention of listening to what we say. Do you ever go to your mom or dad when they're real busy at something and you're trying to talk to them, and dad's reading his paper or doing something, and you say, well, dad, I had this problem at school today. Uh-huh. Well, dad, I failed all my tests today. Uh-huh. Well, dad, I decided to join a gang. Uh-huh. And you know the sound is hitting his ears, but he's not really paying attention. You never have that problem when you go to God. You have confidence that he hears, he's listening with really undivided attention, because God has omniscient attention. And he's hearing with the intent of understanding your request and answering it if it's according to his will. Now, we have confidence that the only limit on prayer is the will of God. If we ask anything according to his will, God is not bound to violate his will to answer my prayer. And you shouldn't want God to answer a prayer that's not according to his will. Why would you want something that God would not want you to have? But it's a very dangerous thing, because prayer is so powerful that you can ask enough that God will finally say, yes, but you'll regret it. So you have to be careful to pray in the will of God, because the only limit on prayer is that which is God's will. Now, I could ask God for a lot of things, but I don't have much confidence that he's going to answer them, because I know they're not the will of God. And so it's a confident thing to know that I'm God's child, that I can come to him with my prayers, that he hears my prayers, that he wants to answer my prayers, and if it's according to his will, he will answer his prayer, our prayers to him. Now, prayer is just asking. Isn't that deep? Amen. Now, there's different kinds of prayer, but prayer in its most basic form is simply asking God for something. The charismatics and Pentecostals, and that's such a prominent force in the world today, they want to turn prayer into an amusement park ride. They really do. I saw a picture the other day, the big article came out about the Southern Baptists now accepting missionaries who speak in tongues. Southern Baptists embracing such a heretical concept. And they had a picture, of course, at the top of this online website. And it showed this woman in church, and she's praying in tongues, and looked to me like she was in pain. And actually, there was a lot of sensuality to it. Now, the Bible warns us about sensuality, that the sensual, there's a danger that's unclean spirits attached to that. God is not involved in sensuality in church and worship. That's the devil's operation. And so this picture looked very sensual, and she looked like she was on a roller coaster at the top of the hill. And to some, that's what they think prayer is. Prayer is a thrill. Prayer is an amusement park ride. Prayer is something that they do for thrills and chills and for excitement. But prayer in the Bible is not such a sensual or vain practice. Prayer is simply asking God and bringing our petition. Now, the word petition, in verse number 15, it says, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. The word petition comes from the Latin and means to ask or to urge or press. And it says it's more formal than just to ask someone, say, to pass the bread. Or you don't petition someone. I petition you to pass the bread at the kitchen table. A petition is a formal, organized list. It's maybe an individual request or a list of requests. Isn't that part of our Declaration of Independence, the right to bring our petition to the government for redress? And so a petition is a prayer, but it's a more formal type of prayer. It's a more organized type of prayer. And it basically is either a single request or a list of requests to God. Now, the title of my lesson tonight is simply How to Build a Petition Prayer List. This is not going to be a dynamic sermon, not that you're expecting one, but a simple how-to sermon. And I promise you, listen, if you'll try what I'm going to preach on tonight for a year, it would change your spiritual life. It really would. It's so practical and so simple, but it's so overlooked by Christians. Now, some say that prayer lists are not biblical, that you should just pray as the Spirit leads. I'll tell you something. I've talked to some of those folks, and I don't think they would know the Spirit's leadership if you grabbed them by the ear and pulled them around the room. Beware of those folks who are always trying to make the Christian life into some kind of spooky type experience. The Christian life is not a spooky, sensual, feeling-oriented religion. The Christian life is ordered, it's organized, all things decently and in order. Not just how I feel today. Oh, I feel something. It must be the Spirit leading me. Oh, I don't feel it. It must not be the Spirit leading me. It's all feeling oriented. Folks, what we have for sure is a Bible in black and white. Maybe red too. And you have a Bible that you know is the words of God. How I get up and feel this morning has nothing to do with what God said. How I feel tonight has nothing to do with what God said. And I think we better be very careful about looking for a charismatic, feeling-oriented, sensual, really chaotic kind of a Christian life of going from one thrill to the next. I said recently, Jesus is not a pill you take to get high. It's not something you take to, you know, because you don't feel good. Jesus is a person. We believe upon Him. We walk with Him. We fellowship with Him. And the Christian life is it's an orderly, organized, disciplined, reasonable way of life. A life of faith, but it is not a chaotic roller coaster of religion or sensuality and feelings instead of truth. The Christian life ought to be consistent. It ought to be consistent. Not when I feel like it. But it's a discipline, it's a life of a disciple who does things on a consistent basis. Not hit and miss, or sporadic, or in emergencies only, but a consistent, faithful life of spiritual discipline. And we talk about that these days, and it's over people's heads. Discipline? Just make me feel good. You know, put a show on. And instead of living the life. Let me give you some biblical examples of a prayer petition. How about Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 1? It says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. And she said, if thou wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Boy, she was specific, wasn't she? She said, if you'll give me a man-child, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And then when Samuel was born, she said, for this child I prayed. You know what the name Samuel means? Where's Samuel? Samuel, do you know what your name means? Asked of God. Answered prayer. Amen. She knew and she wanted everyone to know this boy of mine was an answer to a direct petition before God, a direct request for God to do something on my behalf. When Abraham stood before the Lord, he presented his petition, didn't he? Lord, you're going to destroy the whole city? What if there's 50 righteous? I won't destroy it if there's 50 righteous. Well, what if there's 40? Well, I won't destroy it for the 40. What if there's 30? Surely you wouldn't destroy it for 30. I mean, that's just 20 less than 50. Would you do it for 30? No, I won't if there's 30 righteous. And all the way down to 10. And no doubt Lot thought, well, surely Lot's family's saved. Surely 10 will spare. And it turns out they're just one. One righteous man, Lot. Now, Abraham brought his petition. How about Moses? God was ready to wipe them all out. And Moses brought his petition before the Lord, And he prayed that great prayer, the great prayer that has that dash in it. Lord, if thou wilt not forgive them, and blot, and it has that dash. Then he said, blot me out of the book instead. He was bringing a petition before the Lord, had a specific request. How about Daniel? Daniel had a daily petition. Remember in Daniel 6, his enemies wanted to find some way to get rid of Daniel, but he was so faithful, they couldn't find anything in his internet history. They couldn't find anything in his mail. They couldn't find anything on his phone. They couldn't find anything in his closet. They couldn't find any women out there. Couldn't find anything to use against him. Couldn't find anything in his taxes. Couldn't find nothing to use against him. So finally they said, we'll make a law where no one can ask a petition of anyone except the king. Not even God. And so Daniel heard about the petition. Daniel went into his room and opened his windows toward Jerusalem. And three times a day, the Bible says he prayed and brought his petition to the Lord. And they said, see, he's bringing a petition before someone besides the king. And of course, they threw him in the lion's den. And you know the rest of the story. But Daniel was faithful three times a day to bring his petition before the Lord. Jesus gave us a model prayer in which we're to pray for specific things. He told us to ask for our daily bread, didn't he? He didn't say, get your weekly bread, your monthly bread. You're supposed to pray every day for that bread. I remember a preacher said one time he was at the grocery store and the woman was buying her groceries and everything she took off the shelf and put in her basket, she said, Lord, thank you for this food. He said, why do you thank you for the food now? She said, well, I don't have to worry about it at mealtime. Just thank them all for it now. You know, you're supposed to pray for your daily bread daily. Thank God for it daily. Forgive your those who wrong you daily. Ask for forgiveness daily. It's a consistent petition. Paul prayed for the Ephesians in Ephesians 1:16. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he listed his prayers that they would be strengthened and filled with Christ and grounded in the faith and to know the love of Christ and the fullness of God in their lives. So does it sound like Paul prayed specifically for them and that he had things he asked God on their behalf? It's important for us to understand that it's biblical to have a prayer list. All right, now what are some reasons? Some practical reasons for using a petition or a prayer list. Number one, a prayer list makes my prayers specific. Now, people in the Bible, they prayed specifically. You shouldn't just go to God every day and say, Lord, give me whatever I need today, amen. Or bless the family today, amen. Or bless the church this week, amen. You know, we ought to take the time to pray for some specific prayer requests. To pray for people in particular. To pray for specific, definite things. Now, if you don't pray specifically, how do you know when God answers? Well, I had a good day. Mark it down. If you don't pray for something specific, how do you know that God answered it? My wife has some boxes in her office, and I noticed one of them said preacher's old sermons, and that was back when I used to print them out, highlight them and everything, cut down a lot of trees that way. And she had a whole box full of my sermons all stacked in there, and I looked inside, and I found an old prayer book, an old three-ring binder with prayer list requests from years ago. And I started flipping through there, remembering some of these requests, and they were very specific. And many of them were scratched out because they were answered. So I can look back and see specific answers to prayer. If you don't have a prayer list, you're not going to see specific answers to prayer. And so you want to pray specifically. You ought to pray, we're going to talk about some things to pray for in a minute, but you ought to pray specifically. Bring definite needs. You have not because you ask not. All right, a prayer list makes my prayers consistent. Makes my prayers consistent. Without a list, I tend to just pray about whatever's on my mind, which means that I leave a lot of things out. Now, I'm a list-oriented person. I have to make a list for everything. It's not that I'm absent-minded, it's just that my mind always has something else going on. I'm visually oriented. For example, in the morning when I'm ready to leave, I go to my chest of drawers. I look at the top of my chest of drawers and say, oh, I need that, I need that, I need that, I need that. Put it in my pockets and leave. If it's not there, I'll go off without it. And I'll call my wife and say, can you bring me my wallet? because I left it in the kitchen instead of on my chair. Anyone else like that? Okay, I'm not the only one. I do that all the time. I saw a picture of an older couple recently in the back. They both had green t-shirts on. The back of the guy's t-shirt said, I'm with Jen. And her t-shirt said, I'm Jen. Or no, it said, I'm sorry. It said, if lost, return to Jen. And then hers said, I'm Jen. So if he gets lost, bring him back to her. And so I need a list. If I go to the store, if I go to Walmart, I wish we had a Target closer, but I go slumming at my Walmart on the way home. And I go to Walmart, see strange things at Walmart. Get a lot of sermon illustrations at Walmart. Half the time I come back with a whole series on child discipline. See, I should have wrote that on the list because I don't know what I was talking about. I was at Walmart. Okay, if I go to Walmart and I know I got to buy a couple things, I'll start walking around. Oh, I like that. And I'll walk and I get back to my car and drive home, and there's two or three things I forgot to get. So I need a list. All right? So I make lists. I make to-do lists every day. And as I go through, I ask, because I'll forget something. My wife said, did you make my bus flyers? I said, yeah, it was on the list. Scratched off. There they are. So I have to have lists. And so I have a prayer list, because otherwise I'll get on my knees and whatever is on my mind right now is what I'll pray about. Lord, please work in Tim Dart's heart. He's so backslid. And that's all I'll pray about. And I'll totally forget to pray for Randy. You know. So I've got to have my list, and I've got to have all those things on there specifically. And I promise you, listen, if you want to have a consistent prayer life, you need to have a prayer list. Otherwise, you're not going to be praying for your family and people and situations and things as consistently as you should. A prayer list makes my prayers focused, because I tend to wander in my mind. A prayer list is not dependent on how I feel. This is important. I don't always feel spiritual when I go to pray. Preacher, I thought you felt spiritual all the time. I don't always feel. I got the same flesh you got. Maybe not as bad as yours, but I have flesh too. I don't always feel spiritual when I pray. You know, prayer, like I said, that charismatic woman, she's looking for a feeling. I don't always feel when I go to pray. And sometimes when I'm done praying, I don't feel anything either. You can't go for feelings. Prayer is a spiritual duty. It's a spiritual duty. It's like reading your Bible. I always get something out of reading the Bible. I just may not always realize it. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not trying to hold up some standard that none of us reach. That'd be ridiculous. It's like sometimes reading my Bible is like taking my vitamins. I don't feel anything, but I know it's good for me. And later on, you know, obviously you hide it in your heart and you're reading and God can use it. But I'm just being honest, when I go to pray, I don't always feel like praying. It's just a duty that I do. It's something I'm supposed to do. God told me I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity God gave me. And I'm going to pray, and I know it's good for me. I know it's good for others. But a prayer list is not dependent on my feelings. It is a duty. It is a discipline. Now, of course, it's better to pray with fervency. But at least I know that no matter how I felt, I brought my petition before God today. He heard my voice. And I know that He heard me and listened to me. And whether I felt anything or not, I know my prayers made it through to God. If you only pray when you feel like it, and you only go to church when you feel like it, and you only give when you feel like it, you're going to find you don't feel like it a whole lot. You've got to be disciplined and do what you're supposed to do whether you feel like it or not. So a prayer list is helpful to me because it's not dependent on how I feel. A prayer list reveals answered prayers. I think you ought to check them off, mark a date by them. A prayer list doesn't always have to fill a minimum time limit. Now, this is important also. How long should you pray? As long as it takes. And when I was in Bible college, more zeal than knowledge, boy, they're always challenging us, amen. John Wesley got up at 4 a.m. to pray. I didn't tell you John Wesley went to bed at 8:00. I'm serious. Here I am. I'm working in a warehouse at the time till midnight, getting home at 1 a.m. and getting up at 4:30 a.m. to pray because John Wesley prayed at 4:30 a.m. At classes at 7. I forget, my wife had a hope chest. Now my daughter has a wooden hope chest. I used to lay my prayer list. I didn't pray like that. And one day, I'm telling you, and I headbutted. You're talking about a rude awakening. You think you're praying. I thought I was in third heaven. Amen. Boom. You know, and I heard one preacher pray 20 hours a week. And I'm sure he did. I believe he did. But I tell you, I sat down and they prayed 3 hours a day. Pray 3 hours a day. And I got on my knees and I prayed for everybody I knew three times. Everything I needed, everyone I knew, everything going on at church. I mean, I probably went through all the state senators and president and all the Congress. I think 30 minutes passed. You know, so I'm saying that, you know, I don't have to fill a minimum time limit to pray. If you bring your petition before God and it takes you 5 minutes, that's better than not praying at all. And you brought your petition, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Maybe you split it up morning and evening. You know, I'm not going to put a time limit on it. Because sometimes I can pray through my prayer list and it doesn't seem to take very long. Other times I'll be driving around half the night praying about with no list at all. You see, you've got to just understand it. It's kind of like preaching. I don't have to preach until the half hour mark just because I got to preach the half hour mark. You know. And if it's Sunday night and it's 7:15 and I'm done with the sermon, you know what I'm going to do? Stop. You ought to be thankful for that. Because I know preachers don't stop. They don't stop at 8:30 either. So preacher, how much time do you spend in prayer? I don't know. I just get up in the morning. I talk to the Lord. I keep Him on the line all day long. And I pray through my petition. I have a prayer list on my tablet. You can write it on your piece of paper and put it in your Bible. I keep mine on a tablet where I can scroll through it, change it, update it, and a PDF. And all day long, I'll be talking to the Lord and asking Him for different things. And things come to mind mentioned in prayer. I don't know how. It doesn't matter how much time. It's not like we're punching a prayer time clock. What matters is you're involved in prayer and bringing your petition before the Lord. And then a prayer list is functional and doesn't have to be beautiful. I never have felt like I was a very good public prayer. I don't think I'm beautiful in my prayers. I admire those who pray beautiful prayers. But I'd be downright embarrassed if you listened to some of my private prayers. Because I just pray to the Lord. You know, I just talk to Him. And I don't know if my grammar is always great. I just mention my requests. And I think that it's important for us to understand that when you come before the Lord, you're not going to impress Him anyway. And if all you can do is just say, Lord, bless my wife today and help her on her job or help her with the kids and please take care of her today, that'll work, brother. That'll work. Just talk to the Lord. And He will listen. Not only does He hear your words, He sees your heart and He sees your faith. And so a prayer list is just something that's functional. Doesn't have to be something that's beautiful. All right, a third thought tonight. How to make your own prayer list. I'm going to break it down to a couple of different things you can have. Make it simple. Number one, pray for yourself. Well, I never pray for myself. I never do nothing for myself. The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Well, good for you, Mr. Farmer. You can go out there and feed the whole world, but you don't sit down and eat your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You're not going to feed the world for very long. So you got to make sure that getting yourself in tune is a good place to start when it comes to prayer. I ask God for my needs in alphabetical order. You can do whatever you want. I picked this up probably from Jack Treber, I think, years ago. But I just list A to Z, and I have one character trait or one need for each letter. I don't have five or six because I like to have one thing for each letter. For example, A, attitude. I want to have a good attitude. That's my biggest need. B, boldness. I'm a shy person. I pray for God to give me boldness. C, Christ-likeness. That's a good thing to pray for, amen. I'll give you some of the hard ones. Q, pray for quietness. That I won't talk when I'm not supposed to. I'll watch my tongue, amen. X, I had to cheat on, excellence. It's not very many words that start with X. Z, zeal. I pray for you can have your own list of things that you need or want and ask God to work in those things. And I ask God to improve me. I ask God to help me with my specific responsibilities. For example, I ask God to help me to be a good husband today. Help me to be a good father today. I don't pray, Lord, make my wife a good wife. I pray, God, help me to be a good husband. Help me to be a good father today. And help me to be a good preacher today, etc. I ask God to give me wisdom. If there's anything I've asked God for since I was 16 years of age to today, I've asked God for wisdom. You and I need wisdom. I ask God to help me with my daily schedule. Yesterday I met with the insurance man. I came over and looked at the property again. I've had the same insurance agent for 15 years. And there were no problems, but I pray, Lord, help me to have wisdom. I don't know all about this stuff, and I don't want to look stupid. Amen. Help me to have wisdom with the insurance agent. I ask God for any specific needs that I have. And then, a second thought, pray for yourself, pray for your family. First of all, pray for your spouse. Pray for their health. I've said this many times, that all husbands ought to spend time praying for their wives' health. Pray that they'll be cancer-free. You have not because you ask not. I'm not saying that if you pray that every day your wife will never have cancer, but I'm going to go ahead and pray that my wife won't have cancer, and just because I want to use every opportunity I have in that regard. You ought to pray for your wife's health. You ought to pray for your husband's health. Pray for protection. You know, your husband gets out on these crazy highways with all these nutcase drivers. Are you kidding? These people are nuts out there. Some of the things we see out on the roads. Pray for protection. Pray for sanity. Amen. If your wife homeschools, pray for sanity. As I said, I don't pray for my wife to be a better wife. I pray that I'll be a better husband. Pray for my kids. I have the same prayer list for many years. Pray for them to be saved and know it, be baptized. Pray that they have tender hearts, be soul winners, have a desire to see people saved, be surrendered, be spiritual and pure, healthy. Pray for them to have good friends, go to the right college, have the right mates. Pray they'll have modesty in their heart, not just because we make them. Pray they'll have convictions of their own. Pray they'll have wisdom and discernment as they start making big decisions. See, parents, you know, parents go wrong, and I'm almost done. Parents don't teach or pray for their kids while they're growing up. And then when they're grown and they have families of their own, all of a sudden they want to start teaching them everything and correcting them and giving them all this advice. They never gave any of that when they were kids. And now they want to start praying for them. But you know what I decided to do is back when I first found out any of them were on the way, started praying for them then. I find it's a lot easier to pray them through than to go back and pray after. And so, when my daughters bring home some punk one day, as I'm cleaning shotguns, then at least I will know that there's been 18, 19, 20 years of prayer behind that. So, you ought to pray for your kids. Pray for your extended family. It means your parents. Pray for your brothers and sisters, your lost family especially. Pray for family needs. How about this? Instead of posting them to Facebook, why don't you bring them before God's throne? It'd be something if we, instead of looking for people to meet our needs, why don't we bring our requests to God first and let's see if He'll meet our needs. Pray for your church, pastor, and your ministry at the church. Pray for the church. It has specific needs. Pray for the people. You know someone in the church that has a need, pray for that person. Pray for our attendance to increase. Pray for people to be saved. Pray for those who teach your kids. Call them out by name. Hey, teachers get discouraged too. Some of our teachers have been at it for years and years and years. You ought to pray for them. Pray for the pastor to have strength, power, wisdom, and the right messages. Pray for your ministry, the kids in your class, your bus, etc. Pray for your friends. And on we could go, but I think you get the idea. Just make a prayer list. Make a list and learn to pray, not just when you feel like it, but to pray consistently and persistently.